This is Jason David Frank, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Today on Power Rangers.
Hello and welcome to the pull bag. This is episode 416. That's right, 416 episodes, folks. Holy crap. It is quite possibly and most likely the longest podcast I have ever done. I am, of course, TFG and Mike, and joining me once again for a second week in a row is Mr. Jesse Raz. Hello, sir.
That's Gold Ranger Jesse Raz to you.
Uh-huh. That's just the color you pick today. Tomorrow you'll be the Pink Ranger.
Well, I'm working on a Gold Ranger helmet currently, so we're going to go with that for a while, at least until I get that one finished.
There you go. There you go. And we are here to talk about Boom Studios' next arc for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers series that they have done. And the next
I
arc.
I warned you.
You know what? It's one of those things that if I start something, I either need to finish it or forget about it, and everything that has led up to this has been so good. There have been moments where we may have not liked something or whatever.
Oh, for sure.
But from issue 0 to issue 30 and then the Shattered Grid one shot, everything had been so well done. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's probably a few things in there that, you know, whatever, but overall, the overall product has been good. And yes, you did warn me, but apparently nobody should go beyond the grid.
Well, so what ends up happening is, so the massive battle for the grid wraps up.
Yeah.
Which, you know, insane, you know, again, not without its criticisms there, but for the most part, it's insane. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's very well received. It's very well done, especially by fandom and everything else. Well, then we change writers.
Yep. Marguerite Bennett is the writer on Beyond the Grid. And Beyond the Grid is issues 31 to 39. Yep.
And I will say at the beginning of this, this concept, this idea on paper is not a bad idea. It's kind of a cool, intriguing idea.
Yeah.
And so what that is that due to the events that wrapped up Shattered Grid, the group of Power Rangers that are rescued from Draken's, you know, prison and stuff that are on the Promethea,
yep.
Some of them have Morphers, some of them don't, and they all don't necessarily know each other. They're thrown off into this splinter universe that doesn't have access to the Morphing Grid.
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah.
So on its face, like, that sounds like a very cool kind of story.
Yeah.
What happened is just a very sort of fledgling. It goes here. It goes there. There was never really, in my opinion, the problem with this is there's never really like a unified direction. They just kind of hem-haw, and there's a lot of background filler issues.
Yeah. I don't want to sit here and say that Tommy Oliver is the end-all, be-all, best Ranger ever. But
you will.
But let's face it. You know, it's one of those things where in that first arc, because as you said, you actually said this off-air, that, and I love that it was done this way. I'm not saying anything against Kyle Higgins or anything like that. He's one of my favorite. He's single-handedly one of my, if not my number one favorite modern comics writers currently. But let's face it, from issue 0 to issue 30, that was him fanboying in a really good way, not a bad way. It isn't like, I don't want to sit here and say it, but like, you took Tommy, you took it in a different direction. You made this, you know, Kyle Higgins made us the adult Power Rangers story that we have always craved. And I personally feel that you could only have done it in comics. You cannot
show. I will say in some ways that's harder than what Marguerite had Bennett had to do. In some ways it was easier because what he was doing is he was taking an arc that he kind of wrote and filling in some of the details to what Power Rangers, the TV show, already gave us. So a lot of the major stuff was already there. He just kind of pieced a lot of things together. This is a completely different story thing.
Yeah.
That's not been told with a bunch of different characters. So in other ways, this is a bigger risk. This is a bigger gamble. And what the potential was, if you look at some of the characters that were in this storyline, were for us to get a better understanding. And again, a deeper backstory that you're not going to get in a children's show.
Yeah.
And some that we already do kind of care about. The problem, I think, arises in their selection of the cast of characters. And this isn't like me not liking them. I just think you didn't need a Tommy Oliver, but you needed it's like in a movie. You need a name kind of attached here. And I don't think Ranger Slayer Kimberly or Andros were quite enough on their own.
No, and I don't need, like, so the team here is Andros from space, from Power Rangers in Space, is the Red Ranger. Magna Defender Mike, Leo's brother, from Lost Galaxy, is the Magna Defender. Heckle is the Blue Ranger, whoever the hell Heckle is. And I know you'll tell me who Heckle is because I have not watched Dino Charge.
He is from Dino Charge. He is sort of the redeemed bad guy So he's
essentially the Tommy. Not really Tommy, but he's the Green Ranger under a spell kind of thing.
No, he had some of that, but he was a sort of redeemed bad guy. He and Ranger Slayer Kimberly both have that sort of that cover and have that. And that kind of colors the relationship, which was one of the more interesting parts of this series. But then but continue.
And then you have Ranger Slayer Kimberly, who I absolutely love and I want to read more of.
You'll get a little bit more. Don't worry.
No, I know. And then you have Cam Watanabe from Ninja Storm. And then you have Tanya from Zeo. Tanya was right before or right after Aisha? How did that go?
So when they got made big again, when they got brought back to the adults, when they achieved their Zeo crystals, Tanya, who's had like maybe 6 months experience being a veterinarian, thinks she can help with this African plague. So she gives Tanya. Right.
So she gives
So she gives her Zeo crystal piece and sends her back in her place.
I like Tanya. I like her a lot in this. I think it's cool. I think it's great that we're seeing more of her. Cause like you said, you know, in the show, she only had like less than 5 minutes. I mean, really, honestly.
Yeah. And I don't mean this in any bad way, but that's the kind of how they treated her on the show. They just kind of substituted her in for Aisha, and there was not a lot of difference in there. You know, Aisha kind of had a funkiness, you know, boogie with the bear that Tanya didn't, but otherwise she was the Pink Ranger's best friend. We didn't really get a lot of explanation as to who she was living with other than she was sort of living with Kat's family. You know, we didn't get a lot on here. So her backstory and then her relationship with Mike was again, one of the high points.
Yes, absolutely.
What I'll say though is, cause if it were me, if I were going to look at this cast of characters and sub someone out, I would probably sub out Andros for maybe someone like an Adam Park.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can pick Adam from Turbo, from Zeo, or from
Mighty Morphin.
But I think you get the same kind of leadership experience that you get from Andros. Mm-hmm. But the problem with Andros is we know all about his backstory already.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That was all of what Power Rangers in Space was. So, like, we're not interested. We know enough about him that weren't the, you know, there's a little bit of interestingness with him and Caron being together as brother and sister, but we don't care. We already know this.
Yeah.
You know, and we know a lot about Adam Park, but this is a character that is probably a lot more popular than Andros is to the fan base.
Oh, easily. With one line, he is more popular than Andros. Get to be a frog.
He doesn't usually get a lot of time to shine.
No.
So this is an area where he, you know, you take him maybe at Zio, or maybe, you know, depending on where he's been picked off, you know, I mean, you can pick, but then you get more of that.
Yeah.
And it makes for a little bit more interesting storytelling. I think that was the big flaw with Andros there.
Yeah. And again, and because I've kind of, I have, and I have not read ahead, folks, because later on this year, because this episode won't actually be out until June or later in June. Later on this year, you and I are going to tackle, we're actually going to go back and tackle Power Rangers Pink, which is the story all about regular Kimberly.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. We're going to do the Psychopath. The Psychopath was a better, like, that's why I love Caron slash Astronema in this, because when I read the Psychopath, I'm like, holy crap, they did so good with that. We'll get to that later on in the year, like, but
that's the thing that I think, I mean, I can't speak for everybody that likes Power Rangers, but I think the appealing part of the comic series is we get more details and more backstory of characters that we knew to love, that we grew to love, but we never got because it's a children's show.
Yeah.
So like, so again, that's why I think Andros was a wasted opportunity there, because we already know about that. And Caron's, as far as Caron's backstory, which we don't get a lot more of character, we get a little bit more character driven stuff from her here, but like we get more of that in the Psycho's Path.
Yeah.
So again, that's an opportunity that you could have put in another Ranger that might have been a little bit more popular, but also not always given their time to shine. Or hell, TJ's in this.
Yeah.
Bump TJ up there and give TJ more of a leading role.
Yeah, make him the Red Ranger again.
Yeah, make it instead of Andros and have Andros be on the back, you know, on the back burner a little bit. So, yeah. So just out of the gate, like the casting kind of was a little problematic for me with that.
Yeah, I know you've told me off air you're not the biggest fan of the art in this. The one thing I'll say for the art is the colors. Oh my God, the colors are amazing.
Well, the color, like, it is beautiful. 31 through 39 of this arc is absolutely beautiful. From the covers, the layouts, all that stuff. But it is also very confusing. When you've got these new and different worlds that have different properties from our universe, from a universe that's very different, when you're on a giant Zeo crystal, like it just, it's the layout of everything is a little disconcerting and sometimes it's hard to follow. And so it's like when you've got a storyline that is already confusing, you've got aliens that you're meeting for the first time and you've got a whole universe with different physics, it makes it a little bit jarring for the reader and kind of a little bit, you get a little eye fatigue, I guess, too, from trying to bounce around a lot. So it is very pretty. I mean, it's very visually appealing, but as far as everything else, it's not my favorite.
Yeah. And I got to say, you know, we start off and what I love about, and I don't know if this is throughout, I want to say it's throughout the whole of the trades. I don't know, because I haven't bought past this trade. I haven't bought volume 11, 12, 13, or 14 yet, but I will eventually. I love that in the trades, how they separate like the end of an issue is the white and purple lightning.
Yeah.
You know, Mighty Morphin Lightning Bolt. And then, like it says here, Chapter 5, which I assume is Issue 35, it's a purple cover. But then you're brought into the story and you have these dark colors. And then, you know, they're on the Promethea in the Void. So we're continuing that story. And you have Heckle here telling us his backstory. And we go to Sentai 6 and it's like, holy crap, who turned on the lights? Because that first page when we get to Sentai 6 in the flashback, it's like, wow, that's bright.
Yeah. No, for sure. So before we go on any further, do we want to just kind of gloss over what the basic storyline is?
Sure.
So, you know, we start off, we're stuck in another universe. We're on a ship, which is Promethea.
Which eventually will be Terravenger.
Exactly. Which is kind of a cool little tidbit. We're reminded that, that it's being powered by the green psycho dagger. Also really cool. And it's basically running out of power. You find out there is no morphing grid here. So Rangers are running out of power. And then we meet an alien. Well, we meet a couple of aliens. We meet, who is it? What is her name? That was the other thing. Like I kept, Alarion. And the other one is Remy.
Yep, Remy.
Yep. One of them is sort of a mysterious Power Ranger whose kind of powers go in and out. We find out that she has this item called the Solarix, which I feel like we've heard that before. Side note, with the Solaris Knight in, which was a little similar to me, and I kept getting confused. They're not related, but it always thought it. I was kept trying to remind myself, no, it's not. But anyway, so we meet her. We come to find out that she's the only Power Ranger here. You know, we learn that that thing sucks up morphing energy, and so then she eventually shares. So people get their powers restored, then they become Solar Rangers. We end up on a giant Zeo crystal, which was kind of cool. We learn a little bit about the origins of the Zeo crystal. Meanwhile, we have this bad guy who is the Praetor, who seems like he is trying to bring about the end of this universe, because we find out this universe is dying without a morphing grid. We find out he is basically a falling Morphin Master that stayed behind when this universe was severed from the main universe. And yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, but it's not like in Shattered Grid and the volumes before it. I was on the edge of my seat trying to figure out what when we talked about Shattered Grid last week, when we talked about some of the cliffhangers, like when one of the issues ends with Draken basically cutting in and stepping out of the prison because he cuts back into his world and he just leaves kind of thing. Like that was a cliffhanger. The best part for me in this entire thing, and this is so sad, is the fact that Tanya and Mike hook up. Sort of. Yeah. I mean...
Well, yeah. I mean, I like that idea. And that was one thing that was kind of carried over from Shattered Grid, because like Jason and the Red Samurai Ranger, is it Emily? No.
I think it was.
They kind of have a brief romance, and it's this sort of like wartime romance kind of thing. And so, you know, I like seeing Rangers of other teams interacting.
Yeah, that is always very cool. It has to, and I'm not adverse to not learning about new characters, but I still don't care about that crow. After reading this twice, I could give a shit less about Heckle.
Really? I liked it.
And it's okay. I don't know. I'm just biased towards the characters that I like. And like I said, you know, obviously we are going to get more from Ranger Slayer down the line. I like that she's here, but like you said earlier, we could probably use somebody else. But again, you're trying to bridge everything from the end of Shattered. So it's like, oh, well, these are the characters we have to work with. Yes, there are plenty that they could have, like we already said, we could have substituted anyone for Andros. Hell, we could have substituted Cole from Wild Force for Andros or whatever.
I know.
But that's my point, though. Like you already said, we already know Andros's story. We already know all of that. But these...
So, like, the other question I have, though, too, is Did you really understand the ending?
The fact that the two girl rangers are going to live in harmony on the new Zeo crystal or something.
Well, but like, so they end up, the solution is they end up merging or basically reconnecting that universe back into the Morphing Grid
proper. To the grid. Right. Yep.
And, got it. But it ends kind of, I don't want to say ambiguous, but like the ship goes back and they get home. But like, how does that work? Do they go back to their times? We don't really get a clear explanation. It's just very like sort of out there. So do these people exist in their own separate timeline now? Like, how does that? I was a little dissatisfied, and it felt like that. Like, and I feel like from what I've read that there was some of this that, like, okay, it's not selling, it's not popular. We just need to write an ending and move on, and that's kind of what it felt like.
And the thing of it is if it wasn't selling, and I don't know, I'm not looking at any information, I have no clue, I'm not looking at Boom Studios or anything like that, no clue. And I mean, they, so folks, there is an end point to this Mighty Morphin Power Rangers series. It ends at issue 55 or 56 or 57, which sucks, but they're rebooting it or whatever, restart, you know, well, doing two new and different series.
And I feel like based on that move, and again, I've just read internet rumors. I don't know this to be true, but like, I feel like part of that was because of the decline in sales because of this arc.
And I don't, you could be right, because like I said, I have not read past this yet at this point. I mean, I've read some of the, as of this recording, for what we will do in the future, in October, November, whenever it is, I've read The Psychopath already because I wanted to make sure I got a little preamble for that. I've read, we are also going to be doing Sins of the Future. So I've read the two graphic novels that they've done. Excellent.
Which one is Sins of the Future?
Time Force. Jen and Wes.
I got to think back and see if I've read that one or not. If I did, it's not standing out. But I've read... If I haven't read that, I've pretty much read everything else. Soul of the Dragon.
Yeah, Soul of the Dragon we covered. That was the first thing we covered way back when in 2018, I think. Yeah. But it's one of those things where, yeah, it feels like a rushed ending. It feels like
the last two... went home to his planet.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the last two pages here are essentially the yellow and the blue Solar Ranger, you know, living, you know, it's a star is born, you know, Ed McMahon on Star Search, finally, hope in the darkness.
I realized when I said earlier what the synopsis was, I was like, man, that even to me who's read this, that sounds really good. The problem with like Ilorian and Remy, I don't care about them. I wanted to, and I like just investing in them as a character. Like it just like that romance. I wanted to be invested in that. I wanted that romance, but there were times where I wasn't 100% sure that that was a romance.
And yeah, it's a little weird.
I don't know if that's some hesitancy because they're a same sex romance. Like, and this is Power Rangers, even though it's Power Rangers comic book. Like, I don't know what that was, but like it just. Again, it was like that's a group of characters that are essential to this story that we don't know that we need to care about. And I didn't find myself caring about them as much as I wanted to.
I think the misstep here, and it has nothing to do with the fact that they're a same-sex romance. I don't care. Like, fine.
I know you don't.
Right. But yeah, what I'm saying.
Some thought there.
Like, no, absolutely. There is thought there. The problem is it's not about the fact that it's a same-sex romance. It's about the fact that we, again, going back to what we said earlier already, we don't really know the characters. Coming out of Shattered Grid going into this, you hobble together a mismatched team of various Rangers, some we know, some we – I mean, at least me personally, like I said, I didn't know who the hell Heckle and Jekyll were. But it's one of those things where, like, how about – introducing the story to us of going beyond the grid and being lost in this void by showing us these characters first. And, you know, or not even saying Beyond the Grid, not even doing this story yet. Maybe there should have been a smaller story, like like you said earlier, issue 31 to 33, where we learn about Ari and Remy or whatever.
Well, and like, or maybe, because see, that's the other thing. Like, it's a lot to introduce two characters and then also like try to introduce this romance, this love story. Mm-hmm. Maybe don't have them already together. Maybe they meet along the way and that kind of blooms toward the end. Like, it's just, like I said, I don't know. It was just, it wasn't well drawn out for me. Like, I individually, like, they're fine. And it just, it was like, it almost seemed like a plot device. Like, oh, we're just going to throw this romance in there. Same sex or not, which, for the record, I don't have a problem with, but it
didn't feel
like, but you know, when I look for reasons as to why, like, why isn't this clearly defined? Maybe there was hesitancy on their part. Shouldn't have been, but maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. Maybe I'm just making up that excuse and it was just bad writing. I don't know. I'm just saying that maybe that could be a reason for it, but I just think they're trying to do an awful lot in this arc, and maybe it was supposed to be longer than having two characters that we're supposed to be introduced to, supposed to like, supposed to be upset if they die, and having a romance that you're told between them, and you're also having a romance between Mike and Tanya, but also there's a little bit of budding sort of something between Kimberly and Heckle. Like, there's a lot of things. Plus, you have the brother-sister dynamic between Andros and Carone. Like, all of that is a lot, and we're only talking about 8 issues.
Yeah. And it just...
And it's like, a monthly.
Yeah. This is 8 months of comics, folks, and it just does not feel like it needed to be... Like, okay, you take, let's say, 31 to 33... 34 to 37, and then 38 and 39, or whatever, however you want to split that up. And you take this entire team and create, if you want to do the soap opera thing, because personally, that's what I think they did here, is the soap opera thing.
Well, and you know what, though? It makes sense, though. You're stuck on a ship in the middle of nowhere. You're scared. I mean, all of this stuff would have happened. It's just a lot to unfold over 8 issues when we haven't really gotten a lot of this team together. Like, you almost kind of need a whole like issue of things going okay before they go to shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, split up introduce the team to us. Yes. Mm-hmm. Some of us know who Mike Andros, Ranger Slayer Kimberly, Cam, you know, some of us know those characters, and that's all well, good and fine. But if you want to, you know, in the middle of this, introduce other characters, we need to be introduced to them. And I just felt like they were thrown in there and given a happy ending, and whoop, we're going to put a nice little bow on it.
And like, the other thing is, I know Cam, I know Mike, I know Tanya, but do you know them in the comic book world? Because those characters are a little bit different. They're a little bit more fleshed out here and there. So do you really know them? Because really the only ones that we've kind of gotten any exposure to in the comic books would be Ranger Slayer. You know, we've gotten a little bit of Andros, which Andros hasn't really changed, but in Heckle, we're getting a whole backstory on him. So I don't know. There are a lot. This should have been a little bit more character driven than it was plot driven, and they tried to squeeze both in there. You know, so we've kind of pulled this apart about things we didn't like. What did you like about this?
I liked the couplings of like we said, Mike and Tanya, and then that kind of thing. I love the colors. The colors when they are not so blindingly white sometimes. I really love the colors. I thought that was great. I love the fact that you put them in a essentially a dead universe.
Great idea.
you know, that's a cool thing. A disconnected universe from the grid. Like, oh, this is a universe that was on the grid, but now not so much. So we got to figure out what the heck we can do to blah, 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 blah. And yeah, I liked that. At the end of the day, though, it's probably going to get a 2.5 or a 3 out of 5 for me.
Wow. Well, yeah. Before we get there, here's another problem, and I'll pull this aside, and then I'll get to what I really liked about it, because there are some stuff I really liked about this. The one problem, so I'm a big Green Lantern fan.
Yes, you are.
One problem people have when jumping into a Green Lantern series, or even in the movie, is the Green Lantern's powers are very sort of ambiguous. He gets it from this green energy, from this giant battery that is supposed to be willpower, but how does that work? And so, like, one thing Geoff Johns really did in his run was he really defined what that power is. So it's very easy for someone new to get in here. We still haven't really defined very well what the morphing grid is. We defined it enough for the shattered grid, and so for us to really get a piece on this. But we really do a deep dive into what the morphing grid is, where it came from here, and we don't do a good enough job in defining that as sort of a character in this universe for us to really grasp what the stakes are, right? Yep, Mike, did I lose you?
No, I'm here. Yeah, absolutely. There's too many potatoes and not enough steak in this thing.
And that's really hard. And I could see some hesitancy in doing that. But now to the things that I really liked about this, for the most part, I like the cast. I like Mike. I thought, you know, giving him some survivor's guilt, I thought that was a great character choice that very much made sense for him. I like, Tanya's opportunity to shine. Tanya as being like shown as a healer. I thought that very much made sense in her sort of brief, what little we were given from the show. I thought that was a very smart choice by the writers to give her that sort of role, especially when dealing with Mike.
Right.
I liked Heckle's struggle with his redemption and how he interacted with Kimberly and her struggle in that. Cam kind of fell back into his, well, I'm the tech guy kind of thing. So I don't feel like we got much more from him. We got a little bit more humor out of him, which was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Andros, we didn't get much out of. Carone, I didn't think we got a whole lot out of.
You mean Kimberly? Carone's not in this.
Carone's in this.
Is she?
Yes.
Oh, I forgot.
Carone's not power, but she kind of deals with that a little bit. Yeah, oh, Carone's in this.
That's right. Yeah. She's the tech support.
Yeah.
Essentially. Okay.
Because one of the hurdles that we had to deal with, and it's a carryover from Shattered Grid, is we have. And Andrew's still looking for a Carone, and then, you know, Carone, they're in different, yes, they're together, but they're not the same time stuff. So we have these, we deal a little bit with Grace, we get a little bit of her in there. So, I mean, the cast is good. I think it could have been much better.
Yeah. I will say, since the end of Shattered Grid, I'm really kind of like, at first I was like, Grace, whatever. I liked her on her mission, like back in 1969 on the moon. Mm-hmm. I thought that was fine. But once, you know, we meet her and Promethea and all that, I was like, oh no, here's another Rita stand-in kind of thing. And I just didn't really care for her. In this, though, I loved Grace. I thought she was great. Yeah. I've really come around to the Grace character.
I think they've done quite a bit with her throughout. And giving her a vehicle to sort of shine. But I do think she's a little underserved here because
she is
a leader. And this would be a great opportunity for her as a non-powered Power Ranger to still take more of a leadership role. And while she does sort of lead the ship while everybody else is off being Power Rangers, I think they could have explored that a little bit more. I certainly would have read that more. So I do like the cast of characters in that. I think it's a very pretty book as far as, you know, your colors. I like the concept of the story. And one thing that I freaking love, because I'm begging and pleading and just, I would kill for this. I do like some backstory on the freaking Zeo Crystal.
It's so funny you mentioned that, because I remember I messaged you and I said, here, look, here's a Sixth Ranger video talking about the Zeo powers.
and you know, like, I love the idea of a fallen Morphin Master, which we kind of got something of here and there. You know, I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool, because we just learned who the Morphin Masters are. We get a little bit more backstory on there. You know, so I liked that attempt at that, but I just was left unsatisfied with, you know, it was like, we're going to throw this in there, but we're not going to give you a lot because, well, if we give you a lot, that might change things. We might be held to some things for continuity. And so, you know, I felt kind of teased.
Yeah, that's kind of how they do it around here.
I mean, again, you know, which is fine. You don't have to give me every answer. But, you know, I just felt like the whole thing was sort of an appetizer, and I didn't feel full by the end of it with this storyline. Whereas with, like, Shattered Ark, everything kind of came together for the most part. And this, I think, Beyond the Grid was a good opportunity to tie up many loose ends that might have been left there. And they just sort of, like, instead of tying them up, they just ran away from them.
Yeah, they kind of did. Like I said, they basically put a bow on it and said, oh, it's done. Bye.
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel, and I'm glad we didn't do this, because, I mean, I think we have had a good discussion with this. And like I said, once I start something, I generally have to finish it in order. Before I go where I'm going to go with this, what would you rate this 0 to 5?
Hold on one second.
There we go. Yep.
Sorry, I was plugging my laptop in.
It's okay.
Okay, so 0 to 5, 5 being the best, 1 being the worst, or 0 being the worst, right?
Yep.
If you'd asked me this right after we recorded Shattered Grid, I would have probably given it a 2. But I will give it a 3, just because if you're a fan of some of these characters, like Tanya or Mike, it is worth or even Heckle, it is kind of worth going through, because you get those little bit of delicious moments.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that this is a must read. Like, I would almost rather this be just, instead of an arc in the overall Power Rangers, maybe a spinoff.
Right.
Like, I think this would have been better served if they had done with this, like they had done with Psycho's Quest, even like the, you know, Spirit of the Dragon or whatever. And just made this, we're going to put this out all at once. We're not going to make this a monthly. This will just be a separate addendum to what's there, and then move on with the story as you're going to move on with it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. 3 out of 5. There are things to like in this. There are characters to like in this. Just the overall story of and how it was presented and told, I don't think worked. So, as I said a second ago, we probably could have just went from Shattered Grid to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Volume 11, because the Power Rangers are back in Angel Grove with the White Ranger as their leader. But what happened to the team after they defeated Lord Draken? And what does the White Ranger's first appearance mean for the future of the team? The new series creative team of writer Ryan Parrott from Google Power Rangers and artist Danielle DiNucoloco, I'm probably screwing your name up, I'm sorry, from Shattered Grid, begin a bold new era as those answers and more shocking secrets are revealed for the very first time. This collects 40 through 43.
Have you read that yet?
No. I haven't even bought it yet.
Oh, dude, I will not spoil anything, but I will say one of the biggest MMPR twists in the show.
Mm-hmm.
They finally address it, and it's a very interesting way to do it. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. That's why I love, again, that's why I loved Kyle's first whole, you know, his first 30 issues where, like you said at the beginning of the podcast, this episode where, you know, he was doing the whole thing of taking from the show but still crafting his own path. That's what he does well. If you ever read Batman Beyond 2.0, Mark of the Phantasm, you know, he did that well there. And I don't know when we're going to get to these folks because the pullback is a lot of stuff going on. And Jesse's a very busy radio personality over there in Louisville, Kentucky. You know, very, very popular. But after that, we get to volume 12. A shocking traitor is revealed as the all-new Omega Rangers, Jason, Zach, and Trini, must turn. Yeah. Well, I had already seen it's
out there. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like it's, you know. Must turn to the Mighty Morphin team to face the threat they never expected. But even as old friends and new allies join forces, can they put aside their mistrust to defeat an enemy with the mission to destroy every Power Ranger in existence? Are they redoing Shattered Grid already? Yikes. New York Times.
We'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah. New York Times bestselling author Ryan Parrott and artist Danielle DiNuluco deliver the next jaw-dropping chapter of the Power Rangers Necessary Evil epic event that changes everything you thought you knew about the Power Rangers, collects Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 44 to 47. Now, see, that's not bad. 40 to 43, so that's four issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, four issues is fine. Eight issues in one go, that's a little much. That's like,
I don't know. I feel like this could have been longer. If it had been told right, like you know what I'm saying, you could have structured the story longer or differently, and you could have probably gotten a better story told with a little, you know, if they'd gone 10,
mm-hmm.
You know, or again, made it like, okay, this is going to be a finite trade by itself. It's a standalone, you know, that kind of thing. I'm gonna keep saying it. Here's what I need from Power Rangers. And this is a guy who still collects the Zords, who still tries to keep up on the show. You know, I miss some stuff, but give me an MMPR monthly, whatever, you know, put it right now, White Rangers there. So we got Thunder Zords, we got all that, you know, do with it what you will in that. But then use that second series though to address some other seasons, you know, because the problem with Power Rangers is that anybody that's ever watched that show, you know, the season they start with is usually their favorite. Not always, but usually the one that they have the strongest ties to. So if you started with Wild Force, most people are pretty tied to what, you know, you're going to be kind of, you know. But, like, it allows you to do, like, let's say six-issue arcs where, like, again, for example, just off the top of my head, you can explain the Zeo to Turbo transition. Mm-hmm. You know, you can address some of those big kind of lingering questions that we've had forever about certain series that the show just wouldn't get into.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a series that doesn't really have that, then you know what? You don't really need to address that. But there's enough out there that you can do that and still pay fan service to whoever, and would probably still be interesting enough to someone who, you know, like you, who's like, well, I never saw Dino Charge, so I don't care. If the storytelling's good, you might.
That's the problem. I don't think Bennett did a good enough job with that character to grab somebody like me who has not seen Dino Charge. Like,
and really, if there was a character that you were going to get emotionally invested in from that season, it's him. Yeah, well, I mean, it really, he's probably the most interesting one on there. as far as like backstory and stuff, you know, I would think he would be the best one. But, you know, again, that's the hard part is you're talking, you know, 30 plus years of 30, you know, all this continuity, and you got people that jump in, jump out, and you'd like to think that, you know, everybody likes it all, but you know, there's a reason that the first major arc of Power Rangers was the Tommy Oliver show. That's where the majority of your conventional fandom is. MMPR is still the number one as far as seller. That's why when Hasbro took over the toys, they did more MMPR stuff because, mm-hmm. I mean, it sells. I mean, that's why. But I think there are opportunities. I mean, even if you're doing, if they do it with the trades, like I love what they're doing with the trades. You know, we're going to devote it to, you know, you could do that with a series too. I think, you know, you don't have to necessarily have two concurrent MMPR series going. I don't know how you sustain that.
Yeah. I don't know how you sustain it either. But they're doing it. I mean, they have Mighty Morphin and they have Power Rangers mm-hmm. or whatever the two new ones are. And
yeah,
you know, I haven't read any of that yet because, again, I'm one of those people that I need to start at the beginning and I need to finish what I've started kind of thing. And, you know, we just got through issue 39. We've got about 20-something more issues to go because this series ends at 55, which is fine. And, again, like we said earlier, maybe it was sales, maybe it was this, maybe it's just the fact that comic companies want that number one money because, you know between DC and Marvel and, you know, universes restarting every few years and fresh ideas and whatever, it's like, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen. I, you know, yes, I've read the copy for volume 11 and volume 12. I'm still interested to find out. And, you know, I was 13 when Power Rangers debuted. 13.
Yeah.
I was 15 when the movie came out, and you can see a somewhat bearded TFG and Mike back in 1995 in Florida holding up to his face the Falcon Zord toy and just staring at it and being like, oh, who's that idiot?
Mm-hmm. you know what would be a cool concept? Mm. And you could use Alpha and or Zordon on this. You know, you do a Untold Tales of the Grid.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go through all Power Ranger seasons. You can tell like one-off stories, whatever. But what would be really cool, and I don't know if this would be popular, but if you took a couple of the Super Sentai seasons that never would have been made into Power Rangers, and you just make like a one-off story and you just give them a little bit of background, because some of them are incredibly hilarious looking. That might be, you know, an entertainment draw in that too.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you know,
I don't know. It'd be an interesting concept. And if you're already familiar with Power Rangers, I think it might be something that would continue. It would get people hooked, and you could tell richer stories that way. Again, you make it a one or two comic arc, nothing major, and you know, just little like backstories that way. I don't know. I'm not in that business for a reason.
it would be interesting to see how they go ahead and deal with all of that. So that would be fun to look at.
I need a little bit more backstory on Rita and Zordon, because I feel like we went down that path and then we abandoned it. We just stopped because we got a little bit of backstory as to where the dragon shield came from. Obviously, like we got this whole thing like Rita stealing it from her mom. Mm-hmm. But then that just ended. Like, we quit going down that path, and I'm like, no. I want a little bit more of this. This was kind of cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anyway. So, yes, folks, we have a bunch of stuff coming up here inside the pull bag. 2021 is probably going to be our biggest year yet here inside this podcast. Coming up next, Steve and I will be covering Transformers Beast Wars number 4 and 5. This is the middle arc of the first story, middle part of the arc of the first storyline. In July, Transformers grow there. Transformers, Ghostbusters, Ghosts of Cybertron, that crossover, we'll do that. Hopefully JT will join me for that. And like I said earlier, later on in the year, most likely October, November, whenever it is, looks like November. Jesse, obviously Jesse and I will have to pre-record some of this because heaven forbid we interrupt Tom Turkey Month.
But we're just sitting around talking. We can do it. I'll eat as we talk.
Yeah, there's nothing you really want to do more than eat on a podcast, folks. Trust me. I've had to edit myself out recently eating. I've caught myself eating during the, but like I said earlier, Power Rangers Pink, which is the Kimberly story, Psychopath, and Sins of the Future, which I'm actually going to have to send to you via Facebook so you can see what it is. You can go grab that. Sins of the Future is going to be interesting because it is a Time Force story, and we are currently in the year, and this is so sad. It's been 20 years since Time Force has been on television. 2021 to 2001.
I feel like I read that. It might have been a bit. So
it's going to be fun.
Maybe it was on my list, and I don't have quite the emotional attachment to Time Force that you do, but yeah. I do enjoy it.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I get attached to certain seasons, and so like Time Force at the time when it premiered, debuted, it was brand new. It was like there was no Gold Ranger, there was no White Ranger, there was no, like, it was its own thing. Whereas,
there was just another weirdly Red Ranger for whatever reason.
Oh well, he's a descendant of the future. So that's the thing with Time Force. It's time travel. It's them going from, I think, the year 3000 back to 2001. Mm-hmm. And it's a good series, and it's a good it's a good comic to really finish off what should have been done in the series 20 years ago. Anyway,
well, I'll give it a go and we'll talk.
Yep. Where can the people find you online, sir, if they would like to do so?
Oh, you can find me lots of places. I'm on Twitter at Jesse Rass, one S at the end, JESSERAS. I'm on Instagram. You can follow me there. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Snapchat. I'm probably everywhere else. So.
Yeah. He's on MySpace. He's on whatever came before MySpace.
I don't remember. People in, handwritten letters.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, who knows? Maybe he's on FaceMash. Oops. Sorry. That's cutting deep, folks. All right. Make your great escape to comics. You'll hear all of our contact info in the outro of the show. As always, we will catch you next time here inside the Pullbag when we get beastly with Transformers Beast Wars from IDW.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.